The Sunday Grill on Beat.
As exam season approaches, for some it's just around the corner and for others there's still a few weeks to go. Students across the country are prepping this Easter break, whether it's relaxing and taking a break or getting some study time in. For many, it can be overwhelming. To chat about how best to manage exam stress, I'm joined now by Career Guidance Counsellor to chat about how best to alleviate some of that stress, how it can help, and most importantly, how to manage it. Whether you're a student, a parent, or educator, these tips can offer some reassurance during this challenging time. Betty McLaughlin, you're very welcome to the Sunday Grill. Before we look at how best to manage it, whether you're at junior cert level, leaving cert level, or third level student, what are some of the typical signs if you're in a household with a student that could be struggling with exam-related stress?
Yes, well, inevitably, everybody, when there's an exam in the house, everybody suffers. Everybody is feeling it. You have students who, they're trying to, I suppose, manage their stress. They're trying to revise. They're trying to look at their mocks and see how they can improve them. Now, they would all have their exams back, and that's a good, thing to be doing. They've also, if it's leaving certs, they've just come out of their oral, their oral exams, and that was another ordeal for them. But that's another thing that they can say. They now can tick that box that's behind them. So I suppose, what can you expect from your students? Look, of course they're under stress. They want to do well. It's a very, it's a competition for them. They're trying to do the best they can, regardless of what they want to do afterwards. And you can expect them to be a little bit narky. You can expect them to be kind of a little bit short, because they're going through a lot, and any little extra stress that a parent or a sibling can put on them, anything that they say, they can take it more sensitively than they might have normally, So it's really a difficult time, and it's about managing emotions, managing stress. And, for parents, really take a step back and, fill up that fridge. Students love to graze, feed them. Tell them that you're there for them if they want to talk about anything. And I suppose more than anything, Jolene, it's important to say that this Leaving Cert exam is just one exam. It's big at the time, and everything is relative, but it's not the be all and end all. It's not going to define the wonderful people that they are and that they will become. And if the points don't work out for them, there are many, many other avenues apart from the CAO point system that they can now apply to, and it's not too late to apply to anything. Right up to September, you can apply for a post-leaving cert course and use your points from that course to gain entry into your choice of third level college if that's what you want. You can apply for an apprenticeship. There are training courses. There's the National Tertiary Office now that offers many courses, and they don't regard points. They don't take the points into account. Even in nursing, for example, you can apply to that. If you're interested, you do an interview with them. If you have the subjects that they like, if you can do a post-leaving cert course that will now absolutely guarantee transition then into your degree course in nursing, for example, and many other courses like that.
Betty, when you're talking about people tackling their exam stress, they might have been ticking assignments off throughout the year. Like you said, some students have their practicals done, others maybe in third level, they have assessments throughout the year, that's kind of staggered. Is stress maybe a bit different now for students than it was, say, for the likes of 10 years ago? That though there might be more assignments, there's also more competition.
There are more assignments, but the assignments are good because they are a continual assessment. And to have any percentage of any exam done before you have to go in June and take the final exam, it can only be a benefit to the students. There are at least 16 subjects in Leaving Cert now that have a project-based, assessments as well, including the languages and the oral, including the performance in music. All those are now there that wouldn't have been there 10 years ago. But then again, if you look at it, there's a huge increase in the number of students going to college. So it's like swings and roundabouts, So while there are a lot of pluses now having those projects, you're also aiming a bit higher to get higher points for a number of courses.
So let's talk through some of maybe strategies that can help manage it, maybe getting closer to the exams, like that for people who might have them straight after the Easter break in third level, or for students who are looking to June. What are some of the day-to-day practical strategies that can help to reduce exam stress that's starting to creep up?
Okay, well, I suppose if we start with third level, because they'll have their exams over by the time the Leaving Cert starts. Third level students, like, again, it's about managing it in chunks. It's about working, still working out a study timetable, doing it day by day, not letting it build up. And looking at, you know, the advantage in third level is that the your lecturers who are lecturing you are the people who are correcting your exams. So that can be only advantageous, in that whatever tips they gave you, whatever they emphasized in their lectures and in your lecture notes, which are all online as well now, you can go look back over them. Everything is more accessible now. And, you know, looking at the high points of what your teachers emphasized to you in third level can be very advantageous. I would also say to them, work out a study plan. Don't do these all-nighters. Try and keep to your usual routine. Eat well, sleep well. Get up at the usual time that you did and go to bed at the usual time, so your system isn't in a shock, and that would immobilize you, you know. Keep yourself well hydrated, eat well, sleep well, study in groups. In third level, it's very helpful if you get groups together and say, look, will you study this part of it and come back to me with a summary, and you do this and come back with a summary. You can divide up the course even between five people and help each other and share their learnings. That's a great way of learning, actually. And a lot of third level students do that, you know.
For the likes of, say, the junior and Leaving Cert students who are on their Easter break now, they could be very well taking a well-earned break. But a time management day-to-day strategy could work, maybe an hour or two every evening, taking a couple of hours on a Saturday, but taking the break as well on the Sunday. It's important to manage that balance.
It totally is. You don't want yourself exhausted. You don't want to go into the exam that you are so tired and so exhausted that you really can't engage fully with the questions, you know. And that's important. And that's why it's so important to keep a daily routine, to look after yourself, to eat well, to sleep well. Try not to worry. But I would say if the students in third year or Leaving Cert now, in Junior Cert or Leaving Cert, want to do, want to start a kind of get themselves going before they go back for the final tranche of their term, I would say to them, start with your mock exams. You have received your mock exams now. They have been corrected. You can look over them. You can see where you did well. You can see areas where you need to revise and that you weren't, you know, fully upskilled in and that were challenging for you. And maybe start making your study plan even from that point would be a very helpful way to go, you know, and set yourself up there. Also, be sure to ask your teachers, if you get your exams back and you're still looking over your results from your mock exams and you're seeing areas that you're not sure why you went down, your teachers are only too happy to help you there, asking questions, asking your teachers, what areas do I really need to study here to bring up my points and my marks in this particular area? And then again, a study plan. And, you know, working a certain amount of hours a day is fine. But like you said, the breaks, the exercise, the fresh air, even after 40 minutes, if you could go out for 5 minutes of fresh air, it'll help you to come back, reset yourself and re-engage with the next piece of study that you want to do. And even between your subjects that you're revising. And of course, a great indicator, I mean, there's still a lot about exam technique. It's still important to be able to, you know, examine the questions that have come up in the past, because they're the best indicators of what will come up in the future. And having your test papers there. And a lot of the exam papers even have online solutions to every question, for example. So looking at those, looking at the question, maybe attempting them, being familiar with the exam structure now and how much time you need to spend on each question, just getting yourself ready. Exam technique is important at this stage because you do have a lot of the work learned. Most courses will be covered by now because the mocks are over. But getting yourself familiar with what you're going to face, where you, you know, could improve on from your mocks, and remembering the learnings from that, how much time you need to spend, time management, and so on and so forth. And that's all important. And at the end of the day, if you're a Leaving Cert student and you have applied to the CAO, you have until the first week after the Leaving Cert exams finish, until the 1st of July, to look at your the courses you've applied for, to make sure you have made realistic choices, to put front door you know, and back door alternative ways into the different courses of your choice. There are multiple choices there for you. You can still, as I said, apply to the post-Leaving Cert courses right up to September. You can still apply for apprenticeships, for trainee courses. Those options are all there for you still. And the Leaving Cert and the CAO, everybody now knows, and there's been a lot of work put into this. There's been a lot of money spent on training, on alternative routes to education, courses and career paths. You know, the CAO is no longer the only show in town, and parents and everybody has begun to realise that, which is also good. And that should take the heat out of the point system for you and that competition as well.
Betty, if you could give one piece of advice as they're preparing for their exams for students who might feel like they're falling behind already, what would it be?
I would just say to them, go back to those exams that you have got. Go back to the mocks that you've done. See where you've achieved. See what, where you went down. See, you know, and really and truly speak to your teachers as well and to your guidance counsellor in school. They're in every school. They are there to teach you, you know, to speak to you, to help you, to support you in your learning. And definitely, if you are concerned, please do speak to your subject teacher and to your guidance counsellor in school. They will have good advice for you.
And finally, Betty, where can students or parents go to find out more resources outside the school, perhaps on managing exam stress?
Well, there is, you know, studyclicks.ie is very popular now. They have, you know, tips. The National Parents Council website is good for parents as well. And qualifax.ie, if you're looking up courses, careersportal.ie, they all have, they're all wonderful websites, wonderful resources for students to, you know, get some study tips and skills that they need. And of course, examinations.ie is marvellous for giving you the test paper, showing you the marking scheme and showing you where students do well in exams and where they need, you know, where they lose marks. Because if you know that, you're bound to look towards, avoid the pitfalls.
And we hope that there are students who are listening that feel like, they, of course, they're on their Easter break. They need to enjoy the time off as well. And that's a part of the management of exam stress. Betty McLaughlin, Guidance Counsellor, thank you so much for joining us and sharing us some amazing practical tips for students who are studying over the Easter break.
You're very welcome, Jolene.
The Sunday Grail on Beat.
Now, Easter celebrations can pose potential challenges for our pets. Unfamiliar sights, sounds and smells, coupled with dietary temptations, can lead to stress and even health risks. But implementing some practical guidance, some pet owners can proactively mitigate the risks and ensure their furry companions experience a safe Easter holiday this weekend. I'm joined on the line to chat to me a bit more about these practical guides and tips. Emily Miller from Pet Mania, you're very welcome along to the Sunday Grill. It's that time of year again. We have to be mindful a little bit more so to make sure that we keep our furry friends safe. Isn't that right?
That's it, and happy Easter to you. But yeah, there's loads of things that we just always need to be just extra careful, and when there's special occasions in the house, there can be a little bit more chaos and crazy, and things that are maybe at pause reach that wouldn't normally be at pause reach, so we just need to be extra careful.
Pause reach is a good one to mention as well here. Of course, we're talking about dogs in particular. For pet owners to prioritise their health, as the Easter eggs are being opened up around the country, they may be even a few open before today. What are some of the, I suppose, the initial things for people to keep in mind when they want to keep their pet safe?
Yeah, I suppose the first thing, and probably because chocolate is such a big part of Easter, is that chocolate is toxic to dogs. So it's really important that we keep the chocolate out of reach and don't get tempted by those puppy dog eyes. It's really dangerous. The darker the chocolate, the more dangerous it is. But if your dog does happen to get his nose into an Easter egg, you could very well end up in, you know, a serious emergency veterinary situation over the weekend, which everybody wants to avoid. And it really is something that you have to take extra care, because like that, you know, and if it's unlike my house, the kids will be opening Easter eggs all over the shop and they're going, oh, where are they? And I put it here and they're hiding it somewhere so the other one doesn't eat any of it. But it's really important that our pets don't get hold of them. So chocolate is a big one, really keep it away. But also then the packaging that on our Easter eggs can be quite dangerous, particularly if there's any plastic in that packaging. Dogs that love to chew it can pose problems as well. So keep the packaging, keep all of the Easter eggs away from the dogs.
Try and keep them up on the table and not make sure that nothing's dropped on the floor, and to keep an eye as well, because again, you can't always ensure that nothing has dropped. You know, you can try your best, but if it has, keep an eye on the dog throughout the day, who's hanging around the sitting room or the kitchen or outside. You know, the Easter egg hunts are happening, just to keep an eye on them and maybe have that little extra mindful space that if they're not feeling themselves that evening, or if they're not acting themselves, their behaviour might change when they get more lethargic, if they get a little bit more tired, or they're not as playful. They may have taken something in that they shouldn't have.
That's it. And just keep an eye. Anything that's out of sorts, you kind of go, okay, hang on, prick your ears up, we've got to go, right, let's pay more attention. And, you know, and again, so, you know, humans, just eat all your chocolate eggs really early in the morning and make sure they're gone before lunchtime, and then you don't need to worry about the dog eating them. But on a serious note, you know, anyone who's there, if you've got an egg hunt going for the kids in the house this morning, you know, maybe pop the dog into his crate, give him his own treats, give him something that, or maybe if you've got a chew toy or you've got a stuffable, maybe a Kong or similar kind of toy, just pop that in, fill it full of treats, and they can have their own little treat in there. And equally, you might have already got an Easter egg or some Easter treats for your dog that they're, you know, that they have their own part to play in the festivities, but just to kind of keep them separate from it as well, because it can be very exciting. There's kids running around the house and there's all sorts of things going on. So
yeah,
it's
lots of different activities. Try to keep them not too excited. And like I said, the chocolates are toxic for dogs, but also things that you might see in the likes of hot cross buns, the raisins, the sultanas, artificial sweeteners. They're not things you want to be throwing into the bowl, at the end of the day.
Exactly. And the other thing to bear in mind, I suppose, look, Easter Sunday, it's a great family day. It can be very busy in your house. You might be having visitors or you might be going somewhere else. So we'd say get out, bring the dog for a big long walk this morning. Make sure that they've had their exercise, they've had their playtime before your guests arrive. Or if you're going out for a few hours, that they're ready to rest. That, you know, when your guests are coming or when you're heading out, that they're ready to rest and that they can sit back and relax while you're gone or while your guests are there, so that they're not going to be kind of going, hey, I need my exercise, I need my walk, because that can then lead to sort of not disruptive behavior, but you know, they might start barking or they might be whining or they might be kind of running around the table having the zoomies while you're trying to have your Easter Sunday lunch. So there's loads of things that you can do as well. So that's a really important one. So get out early this morning with the dog, bring them for a big long walk, get lots of playtime in, good for the kids as well if they're eating chocolate eggs, so they can get out for a walk. And just make sure that you know, your dog's not neglected, I suppose. And the same for cats, you know, that we're minding them, and that, you know, there's rich human foods tend to be around a lot more at Easter as well, and the temptation to, oh, I'll just pop a bit of gravy in the bowl afterwards, but if there's things like onions or high salt content in those things in that food, it really can be quite detrimental to your dogs and cats. So we'd recommend trying avoiding those.
Try and keeping them out of sight and out of mind for them, so they're not too tempted to maybe jump up on the counter. And like I said, they can be highly toxic for dogs. The raisins, sultanas, chocolates. And it's very serious if they do get the call to have to go to the vets. I've been that soldier before. I have a dog myself, and you learn these things as you go. But as a child, I wouldn't have known that chocolate was such a... a no-go area. I would have said dogs don't eat chocolate, but I wouldn't have known that they necessarily should never eat chocolate. And if anything does happen, you know, get your local vet on the line and they'll be able to help you in your next step in case you are concerned that they have taken them. But also, like you said, give them their own treats. There are actually dog-friendly Easter treats available in local stores. So you could try and, you know, let them in on the fun and they can have something safe themselves. There's dog-friendly chocolate as well.
There is, yeah. And, you know, again, there are options available. And, you know, at this day, you know, our stores are closed today on Easter Sunday. It's one of the few days that we close, but there are options available. And, you know, again, just throughout the week, just to, while the kids are home, there's loads of different things going on. It's just important that we look after them and that we make sure that our furry friends are getting the attention that they need in the middle of all the extra excitement that's going on. So, yeah, definitely, you know, have your dog's treats, have your cat's treats, have them there, make sure they're getting fed, they're getting that they're not hungry, that they're not scavenging, and if you've got guests in, that they're not being tempted to sneak them something extra tasty off the table, because, you know, like I said, human food is often, you know, very rich, full of salt, onions, things like that can make your pet very sick. So just to keep an eye on it. And I suppose the other thing is that, if, like I said, if your pet is out of sorts at all, tummy upset and diarrhea would be a good indicator that there's something wrong. But so it's really just to keep an eye out. And if there's any progression or signs of illness, keep an eye on it and maybe call your vet. It's obviously a bank holiday weekend, so you're into emergency hours and stuff, so it can be more difficult to track down a vet, but it is important just to be mindful. And if anybody is kind of going, oh, I'm not quite sure, what do I need to keep an eye out, if you go onto our social media, Petmania Ireland, you'll find us on all the usual spots, or onto our website, petmania.ie. We do have information available on those platforms, just if you're looking for a little bit more information on what to avoid or what to do next.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Emily Miller from Petmania. And for more information, if you need it, petmania.ie online. Happy Easter, Emily.
You too. Have a great day.
The Sunday Grill on Beat.
You're very welcome back to the Sunday Grill, of course, on Easter Sunday. Wouldn't it be nice to carve out a little more time at the start of the day to have a chat over your tea and toast, perhaps with your colleagues or your classmates? Childline Breakfast is back for 2025 next month, which is not too far away. ISPCC is calling on families, creches, schools and clubs and workplaces and much more around the country and across the Southeast region to host their very own Childline Breakfast this May. I'm joined now by James Phelan from ISPCC Childline to hear a little bit more about it. James, you're originally from the Southeast, am I right?
Yeah, hi, Jolene. So I'm originally from Wexford, but I'm working with ISPCC Childline, based in the Dublin in the national office for the last number of years. And as you said, yeah, we're rolling out our Childline Breakfast. It's back for May, and we're delighted to have it back.
So tell me a little bit first of all about Childline and what the money's raised would be going towards. What does the Childline service give to children in the country?
Well, Childline is Ireland's only 24/7 listening service for children and young people. It's available 365 days of the year. If people listening go to childline.ie, there's a phone number there that they can call. And children, you know, suffering from any sort of problems or issues can pick up the phone. They can call. They'll speak with a volunteer who will confidentially listen to them. And I think there's an awful lot in the power of listening, particularly for young people nowadays. They don't always have someone that will just listen to them, see what's on their mind, see what's troubling them. But a Childline volunteer will give them that opportunity to just listen, take on board anything that's bothering them, and be there to be able to offer them support and guidance. It's anonymous. It's 100% confidential. And as I said, it's an essential service that's there for any child or young person in Ireland that's in need.
And for someone who might be listening to this now who has not heard of it before, the ISPCC Children's Charity, has dedicated this suite of services and supports for children and young people up to and including those aged 18. It's a 24-hour free support line that is open 365 days a year. Tell us a bit about some of the suite of services that people could avail of if they need it.
With Childline, our main service is our hotline, which is Childline. So if children have anything on their mind, they can always pick up the phone and speak to a volunteer. But we do people in the public generally know us for that service. But we do offer other services. For example, we have a Childline therapeutic support service, and that's where children who are suffering from all sorts of problems and issues can speak with a trained therapist, and they can either go to their homes and meet them and discuss any of their problems. They can help build. It's a resilience-based model that will help children to develop their own abilities to deal and cope with whatever's on their minds. But we also have a parental hotline for parents who are possibly dealing with difficulties. Maybe their child is being bullied in school. Maybe there's problems at home and they don't know how to cope. And maybe they just need to speak to an expert. So there's lots of services there that maybe the public are perhaps not aware of that we offer. And I would encourage people to go online, go to ispcc.ie and look at all of the services that we avail of. We also have a digital mental health program, which is a free guided digital mental health program designed to support 15 to 18 year old kids and their parents and caregivers. And it's a way of dealing with anxiety and stress that I suppose nowadays for kids there's so much pressures, be it exams, school, colleges, all sorts. So there's a lot of services there. There's a lot to get through. But if people just go onto the website, they'll be able to see everything that we offer.
And if there is someone listening who would like to reach out to that phone number, the 24-hour free support line, it is 1800 666 666, and we will be repeating that throughout this segment. It relies heavily on public generosity, James, to ensure that the service is there for everyone who needs it. Tell us a bit more then again about the Childline Breakfast Initiative that's happening next May and how important it is for so many people to get involved to help this service be funded.
Yeah, so our Childline Breakfast, as I said, is back. It's running throughout May. The main breakfast week is the 13th to the 19th of May, but really any schools, creches, clubs and workplaces, as we mentioned, can pick a day in May that they want to host their own breakfast. And it goes towards supporting ISPCC and Childline and all of the services that we provide to young people. It's very easy to host your own breakfast. You just go to childlinebreakfast.com to register, and we send you out everything you need in order to host your own event. And that includes delicious bread from our proud sponsors, McCambridge's Bread, and a pack with decorations, and also everything you need to get started. And there's also conversation starter cards as well, that if people are a bit concerned or anxious as to what to talk about or discuss at their breakfast, there's lots of things that we can do to kind of kickstart things off as well. Every donation that is raised goes towards Childline and helping over 2,000 young people that contact us each week. So when you break that down, it's an awful lot of people and young children that are suffering in Ireland and perhaps don't know how to deal with whatever is on their minds. So all of the funds raised go to a really, really good cause. And we feel that breakfast is it's better together. It's a really good way to kind of carve out the time in the day, maybe pause for a moment, catch your breath, parents to kind of discuss and have a conversation with their children, or even people in the workplace to just step away from the desk for a minute, make a cup of coffee, have a piece of toast, and just have a conversation. And all of the funds go towards helping to protect children all across Ireland.
Thank you so much, James. So if you are a part of a group, perhaps your workplace, maybe your family, your creche where your kids go, the schools, a club, anywhere that a community comes together in a group can all sign up to the Childline Breakfast this coming May, which is not too far away. And if you would like to avail of the service, you could visit childline.ie or call 1800 666 666. And remind us once more, James, how can people get involved this May for the Childline Breakfast initiative?
Yeah, so as you said, Jolene, any schools, creches, clubs and workplaces that want to get involved, if they go to childlinebreakfast.com, all of the details there. There's a registration form. It's very straightforward and simple. Just put in all of your information. And once you do that, we'll take it from there, give you all the tools you need to host your own breakfast and to support Childline this May.
And there's plenty of schools and clubs across the region, the southeast and nationwide, that have already started and they are getting ready for their breakfast morning. I've been to one myself before. I remember them when I was in school, and it's lovely to spend that little bit of time together and be able to bring up perhaps a conversation that you didn't know you could, particularly for the young people. So thank you so much, James, and happy Easter. Have a great Sunday.
Thanks. Same to you, Jolene. Happy Easter and have a lovely Sunday and long weekend.
The Sunday Grill on Beat.
It's that time of the week again. Brian is back in to preview or review a new movie. Brian, what is the crack? Happy Easter.
Hello, happy Easter.
What's the movie you're going to be detailing today?
To be in the spirit of Easter, we said I'd watch The Amateur starring Rami Malek.
Which has nothing to do with Easter. But it's not child friendly. I saw the trailer. I understand that it's a thriller. It looks like it's along the lines like Taken. It's kind of like that vibes.
Do you know what? That's perfect from the trailer. Like, I watched the whole movie and my whole vibe is this is Taken if you didn't have the particular set of skills. He had a different particular set of skills.
Okay.
That don't serve you as well if you're trying to redeem somebody.
So it's called The Amateur. Mm. It stars Rami Malek. Let's take a quick listen to the trailer before we get into it.
Charlie, I think you need to see this.
What is this?
Your wife has been killed. What you do is very important to what we do. Let us handle this.
I want mission-specific training, cash, and a new identity.
It's a heist kind of thriller type of movie. It gives a lot away in the trailer. I know that was just one clip, but I watched the whole thing and I felt like I'd seen the movie.
Yeah, I'm jealous of you. So it's one of those funny things. I went knowing absolutely zero, nothing going into it. And I had seen a poster that Rami Malek was in a movie coming out. My friend was like, "Go see it." I was like, "Sure." I was only when I was walking into screen, I saw Lawrence Fishburne is in it as well. I was like, "Oh, okay, I'm sure he'll pop up at some stage." Nice things about this movie. Nice things.
So you didn't like it?
I wasn't a big fan of it. John Bernthal was in it. John, he's always great in everything that he's in, but he's only like a fleeting character in it. And you think he's gonna do more cool things, but he just kind of shows up and chats for two or three scenes and leaves again. Oh. Now, my friend said, he had a great time and I thought it was a great enjoyment. I was, if I'm being honest, I'm going to be ruthless today. Bored out of my mind. I was looking at my watch according to my watch, every 2 or 3 minutes, but it felt like every 20 minutes. Because I was just like, this movie is...
So tell us the outset.
Okay.
What's happening
so,
in it.
So, very relatable premise. You're Rami Malek. You're working in the CIA. Your wife gets killed in a hostage situation, and then he wants to kill the person that killed his wife. He went to the CIA, he got all this evidence, he's like, these are the people that did it. And the CIA are like, oh, they're on our radar, but we want the wider network. And then Rami Malek is like, well, I'm just going to kill them myself then. And they're like, don't do that. He's like, well, will the CIA train me? And they're like, okay, because he had some blackmail on them. And then he goes to like the CIA training college, and that's where he meets Lawrence Fishburne, and he teaches him how to be like fighting and stuff. But then he like dips out of the CIA because he hacked into the training facility because he made most of the security measures, which I feel is a flaw in the system.
So
they don't have 2-factor authentication.
He's ultimately driven by emotion for this revenge plot, but yeah, it's a part of his work as well. So what was your biggest, I suppose, takeaway from it in terms of performance? It's very high
It's a lot of money in this movie. It looks very slick. It's like blockbuster, but you're saying it didn't really tick the boxes.
Yeah, like Lawrence Fishburne's character is pretty cool because he's like a mentor type that teaches him the way of like becoming a CIA, like physically. But like Rami Malek is made to do it mentally. And it's basically like, it's one of those things where it is Taken. It's Taken again, but less entertaining.
Flipped.
Yeah,
okay.
It's like instead of Taken being like, we're getting these action scenes and like these really cool different
fast
action scenes.
Pace.
It's all basically like, I figured out a way to beat you. And then they just do it. And I was like, well, okay. And then it's on to the next
For
guy.
People who like this type of like thriller, I'm not going to say heist, but like, it would satisfy somebody who likes to switch their brain off, like for a James Bond movie for the 2 hours. So there is pluses.
I think it's a James Bond film for someone that thinks they're too intelligent for James Bond. But it's like it cuts down to just being a James Bond movie with less action.
Okay. So out of five.
Out of five? I loved it. Five out of five. No. Out of five, I feel like two out of five is probably something I'll go towards.
You are harsh today.
I'm just do you know what? I'm sick of movies not being good. Do you know? Like I don't know. It was just one of those things where I was just sitting there and I was like, you know what way it's going
to
go.
Yeah, I'm gone to the stage now where I won't watch a trailer for a movie if it's not the first promo. So I won't watch
the trailer.
So a new trailer just came out this week for Fantastic Four, but another one came out. I'm not going to watch it. Mm. Another trailer, the first promo trailer for the new Final Destination movie came out. I watched that and it was an entire scene isolated.
In the tattoo parlor.
But another trailer has dropped and I'm not going to watch it.
No, I watched the promo and I was so hyped.
Yeah, I was like, that's all I need. That's genius.
But even there's a wider conversation about this because the first Jurassic Park teaser trailer, now this is going back, the first Jurassic Park teaser trailer didn't have dinosaurs in it.
Oh,
I mean, it's like, that's a teaser trailer. Jurassic Park, all about dinosaurs, does not have dinosaurs in it.
Stop. You're talking about the 90s movie.
1993 Jurassic Park, the teaser trailer.
I have to go back and watch that now. That's going
to annoy
me. On
YouTube, it popped up for me one day. But yeah, like, it's crazy because I went off after the experience of like the Minecraft movie in the cinema. And it's like just an insane thing where everyone's just having such a good time. The amateur is just so professional and serious. And it's like, this is why people love a Minecraft movie so much. And it's why it's doing so well. It's because the experience was unreal. The amateur, it's a six limited series thing, six episodes on Netflix that I would never watch. That's what it is.
Okay.
That's what it should have been. It's like, I don't think those movies are made, that those kind of movies should be in the cinema anymore.
We're also ruined as well because we have so much on offer to choose from and most of them are TV shows. So maybe our views are skewed now as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's complete bias. Like, I think when it comes down to talking about like movies and TV shows, if you don't acknowledge the bias like towards anything, there's no point in you even doing it. Like, I love comedies. I love big casts. I love fun times. I love musicals. I love sing song. This is a not like
total opposite.
Completely serious, slow paced movie.
Okay, so the amateur,
I was never gonna like it.
Brian's given it a 2 out of 5.
But you might like it.
Really,
my
surprised.
Friend enjoyed it, so it's so Josh gives it a thumbs up.
Okay, Josh, we'll get Josh in.
Yeah,
next
Josh
time.
Can come in next time.
Bye. Hello, Josh. Thank you so much, Brian, and we'll chat to you again same time next week.
Maybe
the Sunday Grill on Beat.